We've been in the book of Jude now for several weeks, and you have quite a lengthy outline there in front of you. Now, we're not going to finish this today. This is a two-part, so we'll finish this next week. Next week will be our last day in this study, and I'm going to try to get through the Roman numeral 1, maybe at least introduce Roman numeral 2. Because we have quite a bit in those particular areas. But let me ask you to start with me in verse 17, and let's read through the end of the chapter, 17 through 25. We've been talking about apostasy now and just what apostasy is all about. We've had all these warnings from the Old Testament, and we'll mention some of that in a moment, but in this particular section, these last two sessions, we want to deal with avoiding apostasy. So often we talk about things, especially from the Bible, and we ought to be careful of that, should we not? And so often we don't arrive at any solutions and answers to the problems. Sometimes we answer questions nobody's asking. And so in these last verses, the author Jude tells us how to avoid apostasy. And I've given you five specific instructions, and the outline's pretty easy to follow. It's right out of the scripture verses there. So follow me as I begin reading in verse 17, and let's get the flow of the story here. Jude said, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead..." I'm sorry, good night. I'm reading from Revelation 1. The preacher doesn't know where we're going. We're in trouble. Jude 17. "But you, dear friends, remember what was predicted by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They told you in the end time there will be scoffers living according to their own ungodly desires. These people create divisions and are worldly, not having the Spirit. But you, dear friends, as you build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. Have mercy on those who waver. Save others by snatching them from the fire. Have mercy on others, but with fear, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory without blemish and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever." Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you again for the blessings of the word. We thank you again for your great truth. We thank you again for your love for us. We thank you again that we can open the Holy Scriptures and we can rest assured that what you gave Jude in these 25 verses, Lord, was your inspired truth to us as believers. And that you gave this to us for a purpose and a reason. And you brought so much warning and so much clarification throughout these verses. Now in these last verses, as we consider the importance of avoiding apostasy, I pray that our hearts might be encouraged and lifted up as we challenge ourselves afresh and anew as to what you have for us during this time. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice the central idea. Christians must learn to resist the influence of ungodly people. If you remember the chart that we showed several times, sometimes we start out sound and we have good intentions, but if we're not careful, we fall into a time or a period are allowing ourselves to begin to tolerate sin. And it's a terrible thing when we begin to tolerate those things that we know the Bible to be opposed to. And it's not long that we begin to tolerate certain sins and certain things that are opposed to the Word of God. Then we begin to compromise those particular areas, and after compromise, that leads us to apostasy. God always pulls out a remnant. So Jude is reminding us here in the concluding verses that we must learn to resist the influence of ungodly people. And he describes ungodly people. We've described it all through this portion of Scripture. And you remember some of the things that Jude has referred to. One writer finalized it. He said, apostasy, false teachers, deception, lies, falling away from the faith, rejecting the truth, God's judgment, hell. These are sobering realities which Jude has been confronting us. The most natural human response to the thought of living in an age characterized by apostasy, which God promises to punish severely, is probably fear. And so we see that in our introduction, that in your notes there, having identified the apostates in this expressive language, Jude gave the believers guidelines. And the Bible always has answers for us. The Bible always has the truth for us. The Bible always has solutions for us. That's why we need to be in the Bible. And one of the points we'll see later on is the importance of staying in the Word of God and building ourselves up in God's Word and God's truth. And so we see the reminder of that. Now, though the major judgment and the punishment of hell will not take away until Christ's second coming, and we understand a lot of that in the end times, but yet we also realize that Christians living today are very much aware of the apostasy of the 20th century church. And if you're familiar, we just see it all the time, all around us. Churches that are beginning to tolerate, compromising, and after a while going diametrically opposed to what the Word of God says. Now, when the Word of God foundationally and doctrinally spells out something and clarifies it for us, we have no room to wiggle there, and that's why it's so important that we understand God's truth. One writer said, it's like standing in the center of a hurricane with raging winds ripping apart everything around us. And that can happen spiritually if we're not careful. So Jude says that true Christians have nothing to fear, even as God ultimately judges and punishes false teachers. He will continually, and he reminds us here, and boy, what a great truth. He will continually guard us and protect us as Christians in the midst of all of this chaos around us. But we need to recognize and be aware of that. I heard a fascinating story recently, and I felt like that it just fit into what we're dealing with here. The title of the article was a Harmless Escape are Threats to Social Order. Maybe you've read about this. I hadn't heard anything about it. It was new to me. And I thought that it's an excellent example of what we deal with in the subject of apostasy. And the country of Brazil is dealing with this, and it's become so prevalent to them that they're trying to pass laws to protect against these. It's something called a reborn doll. The creation of a reborn doll. Has anybody heard of that? I had never heard that before. But what it boils down to is this. And this blew my mind too. A man in Ohio created this. And what people do, they buy these, what's referred to as a reborn doll, and they imagine that this is a real person. It's real. And they said that people who have adopted this, that they will act as if and treat this doll as if it is an actually human person. And the reason the government in Brazil is dealing with this, they said people are showing up at the hospital wanting them to diagnose this doll because they imagine something's going on and the doll needs help. They said one woman even, and they even have animals, a reborn dog. And the lady took her reborn dog to the vet to have it neutered. I mean, is that not weird? Is that not crazy? And they said that people are actually treat these as if they're human. And they take them to the doctor's office. They take them shopping. They change their diapers. And they just act like... Now, psychologists refer to something like this as a mental escape mechanism. You ever heard that term? A mental escape mechanism. And all of us now, if we're not careful, even as Christians, we can create... And we saw this back, if you remember, in one of the original texts, you referred to dreamers. But if we're not careful, we can develop mechanisms to try to escape reality and start imagining, you know, things going on and things taking place and things happening. And we get these scenarios in our mind. And as long as we can play act through that, we escape reality. It's just a mechanism to not have to face. And that's sort of what they're referring to as these people. They referred to this as a craze. I would say it's definitely a craze, would you not? And I mean, think about someone considering this to be reality. Now, that's what we do sometimes when it comes to apostasy. Because apostates are people who are pretenders. They are living a life of pretending, and they are assuming a role which they don't really believe. An apostate is not a Christian who fell. An apostate is one who was not a Christian in the first place. That's why they become dreamers. That's why they have these escape mechanisms. That's why they create these things in the church. And I think it's interesting that after warning us through these first 16 verses, then Jude comes to this place to where he's trying to help us to understand how to avoid this. Now, I think an interesting application of this, and all of you can identify this if you're familiar with the scriptures, you remember when Moses and Aaron confronted Pharaoh? Remember when God called Moses out? He said, I want you to go to confront Pharaoh. And Moses said, I can't do this. I can't talk. And he said, and finally he compromised a little bit with him. He said, well, I'll send Aaron with you. So Moses and Aaron, you remember, confronted Pharaoh of Egypt. And they pronounced on him this devastating plague. One plague after another. You remember reading about that in the Old Testament? And the Israelites were living in the land of Goshen, right in the midst of Egypt. Now think about what was going on at that time. Time after time, as these crippling plagues struck the Egyptians, God's chosen people were divinely protected. Think about that. Every time there was this unusual plague, God protected his people. And he promises us on down in these verses that he will protect us. You remember when it started hailing but none fell in Goshen. When the Egyptians' livestock died, none of the cattle died in Goshen. When 3 days of absolute darkness hung over most of Egypt, the Israelites in Goshen had light. And finally, when God struck down the firstborn in each Egyptian household, You remember the instructions he gave to the Israelites on how they could be protected and remain safe by marking their doorpost with the blood of the Passover lamb? And that's why they celebrate, even to this day, the Passover lamb. And you remember what he said? You know, you put blood above the door, and you'll be passed over. God protected his people. He had a way of protection, and he promised to take care of them. Now, we have that same promise today. And so God made a clear distinction between Israel and Egypt. And we see that in these verses, and especially in these final verses again, he makes a similar distinction between believers and unbelievers today. And he warns us. And sometimes we know that, but we're hesitant sometimes. And how hesitant sometimes we are to make reference to the word hell. And yet we're told that Jesus preached more on hell than he did on heaven. Because hell is a terrible, terrible place. And if you're an unbeliever, you will spend eternity in that fire forever. And sometimes we miss that. One writer said we ought to remind ourselves every day of hellfire and damnation and just how crucial it is to share the gospel with those who are lost and those who don't know Jesus. Now, we all understand what it means sometimes for a teacher maybe to bring about restrictions and sanctions. Have you ever had a teacher say, now, I left the room and somebody misbehaved and the whole class is going to pay the price for this? You ever had that? And so you got some innocent folks and I wasn't participating, the whole class. And we've seen this often. I can remember in sports sometimes. I can remember my basketball coach saying, a couple of you guys were loafing on those wind sprints, so we're going to do them over again. And boy, what's your tendency in high school, man, to get on those guys that are loafing? Because if you were hustling. And so we see here that, you know, in those situations when a teacher or coach makes those decisions because they don't know the one who broke the rules, now God knows who the guilty ones are. God knows the guilty, and he also knows the innocent. God knows your relationship with him. That's why the Christian life is you know, is explained sometimes as a family. That's why he said in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority to become what? A son or a child of God. And so we're born into that family of God. Now, you'll notice on your outline that we begin this process of explanation here. And you'll notice that I've mentioned that Jude presents us with five specific instructions for survival. And right out of the scriptures, he says, remember the apostles, keep yourselves in God, evangelize others, he's able to protect you. And he ends on verse 25, I want you to practice praise and adoration. We're going to end with the doxology. That's what he says to them. Now go back up there to those first verses in verse 17. He says, but you, dear friends, remember what was predicted by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember. Now there's a play on the grammar here that's important for us to understand because we have this is the first imperative verb that Jude uses. He uses an imperative verb, and anything that's imperative means it's a command. So this is a command from God. And so Jude instructs the readers to remember certain things. So he says, I want you to remember. And boy, how important it is for you and me. Is it not important for us to remember what the Word of God teaches? And I believe that when we're in the Word and when our heart is in the right relationship with Jesus Christ, that God will bring to our hearts and our minds a reflection upon those things that we need to be aware of. And so we see this first imperative, this first instruction. Now, this is necessary because we have this natural tendency to forget. And we have this natural tendency sometimes to cave under pressure. And sometimes we think, well, I don't want to make waves. I don't want anybody to think I'm weird. So I'm just going to tolerate this. And we don't understand the importance of standing firm. And so we see here, Jude is reminding Christians, don't forget the truth of God. Don't forget his truth. And so he wants Christians to remember, first of all, what apostasy is and how it will increase in the last days. He's described apostasy. We've seen the characteristics of apostates, and we've seen that, all that he taught and gave us in that. And so just as Jesus prepared his disciples for his death, and you remember we see this over and over in the Gospels, you remember how surprised the disciples were when the crucifixion actually came about and the resurrection? And even the resurrection, you remember Luke 24 and these two Emmaus Road disciples, they had no idea what was, they're talking to Jesus. But Jesus had taught them all along. He had prepared them that this day was coming, and they had just been consistent in ignoring it and not paying attention. And so he reminds us here, the apostles who wrote the New Testament prepared Christians to face this growing apostasy by predicting certain things. And so Jude's readers could have confidence in God's control. Now, we looked at these verses, I believe, last week, and I want to just remind you, and just listen to me read these in Acts 20. Acts 20 and verses 29 and 30. I know that after my departure, this is Paul talking to the elders at Ephesus, the pastors, the elders of the Ephesus church. He says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Men will rise up even from your own number. Men will rise up even from your own number, within your own group, within your own Bible study, within your own church. And they will distort the truth to lure the disciples into following them. And so he reminds us again of the importance of being aware of false teachers and what can happen. Now I'm going to look at these series of verses with you, and you jot these down, you can look at them later. And I want to just share these with you so that you see the application of this. When he says, remember the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They told you in the end time there will be scoffers living according to their ungodly desires. Now look at 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons. Well, that's pretty clear, is it not? Pretty plain there. Notice what he says in 2 Timothy 3:1. 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, hard times will come in the last days. Now, if you go on and read the rest of the verses 2 through 9 in that portion of Scripture, he goes on to list in detail the characteristics, not only the characteristics, but the methods that the apostates will use. And I would encourage you later to read 2 Timothy 3:1 through 9. But Paul further prepared Timothy when he wrote in 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4. You remember 2 Timothy 4 is coming off chapter 3, right at the end of chapter 3 is when he said, but all Scripture is inspired of God. Then in chapter 4, in verse 1, he mentions there will be judgment one day. And then in verse 2, that's a verse that says, preach the word of God, preach the word. Then in verse 3 and 4, he says this, for the time will come. And I have written in all of my Bibles that I've used that time is here, is it not? Time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Some translations for desires use the word lust. According to their own lust, their own desires, will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. And so we see the importance there. And boy, how Paul, and what's Paul doing? He's preparing Timothy. Because Paul in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy is close to his death. And he's trying to prepare Timothy to carry on. Now, look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. 2 Peter 3, 3. Above all, be aware of this. Scoffers will come in the last days, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And look at Romans 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Write that down and look at it later. Look at that verse with me. Are you truly saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? Sometimes people say, do you have the Holy Spirit? If you're saved, you do. Don't ever hesitate and have to think about that. If you've received Jesus as your personal Savior, the very moment, quicker than that, the Holy Spirit came to live within you, came to dwell within you. And so he's teaching us there. Now, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, then you don't belong to Jesus Christ. Are you saved today? Then you have the Spirit of Christ living within. He's reminding us here. So look at that. The Apostle John even warned in 1 John. He said, it is the last hour. And you've heard that Antichrist is coming. And so he reminded them of that. Now look at verse 18 with me in our text. But you, dear friends, remember what was predicted by the apostles. All these verses I shared with you, these portions of Scripture, that's the apostles reminding us. If they told you in the end time, there will be scoffers living according to their own ungodly desires. Now the reference to scoffers, some of your translations might say mockers. Those who mock, those who scoff. That's what was going on in 1 Peter. That was what was going on in 2 Peter chapter 3. They were saying, you've been saying for years he's coming again, and he hasn't come. Well, we've been saying that, and we've been reading that for 2,000 years. One writer said we're closest to his coming than we were 2,000 years ago, right? And so we see here that reference to mockers who followed their own ungodly lust. And it's similar to what Peter says in 2 Peter 3, 3. And you remember we looked at that. Know this first of all, then in the last days mockers will come. And so we see that emphasis on mocking. And we see the emphasis on him reminding us. Then you look in verse 19. These people create divisions and are worldly. You remember in 1 Corinthians, in the first and second chapter there, he reminds us of three types of people. He says there are carnal people. And there are those who are saved. And he says there are those who are worldly. Now, carnal is a believer, but they're living in the flesh. They're not living in the Spirit of Christ. A spiritual person is someone who's saved, but they're trying. They don't have to be perfect, but they want to walk with Jesus. They want to be faithful to him. And so he reminds us there. And so he says these people are going to cause divisions, meaning they make false distinctions among Christians. And part of the reason for doing that is they want to elevate themselves. They want to get a hearing, a gathering. And so those apostates saw themselves as they saw themselves as the spiritual elite. And they had all the answers. That's what happened when we looked last week at the reference to the love feast. And, you know, at the love feast, one of the problems was they were those who were rich were forming a clique, and they all wanted to get together. We ought to be reminded of that anytime we have a fellowship. When we have a fellowship, who do you normally seek out to sit with? Is it your good old buddies, your good old friends that you feel comfortable talking to all the time? Or do you look for someone that's maybe not a regular, someone, maybe even someone you've never met before? If we're not careful, we can always form cliques because we feel comfortable in cliques. We feel comfortable with among those that we're so familiar with. And so that's why he warned them in the love feast and to not engage in these cliques. Now, you'll notice there in verse 19, he says, these people create divisions and they're worldly, not having the Spirit. You saw in 18, scoffers make joke of their faith. And then you see in 19, he says, divisions provide the devil with the opportunities he wants. But be careful of hanging around people that are always griping and grumbling and criticizing. That causes division. A division can destroy a church. Boy, I know a lot of churches I've seen down through the years. I've been around long enough to see a lot of churches destroyed. We don't have to agree on everything, but we need to be united on the important things of the Word of God so we'll have God's blessing. All Satan needs is a crack to slither through so he can amplify problems. Somebody starts criticizing, that's because Satan wants to amplify something that's not important and hinder God's work. And so Jude says that these people cause divisions, meaning they make false distinctions and they divide. And then you see the last in verse 19 there, he talks about their relationship with the Spirit, not having the Spirit. Now, if you don't have the Spirit, as I shared with you from Romans 8, 9, if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have Christ. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't have Christ. And he says that these people cause divisions and are worldly. We need to protect ourselves against men worldly. One writer said, the problem we struggle with is bringing the world into the church, not bringing the church into the world. And if we're not careful, we let worldly thinking slip in because we want to be tolerant. These people create divisions and are worldly, not having the Spirit of God. They are devoid of the Spirit of God. A person who is devoid of the Spirit is not a Christian. We see that in Romans 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, this can happen often in certain institutions, certain churches, certain denominations, leaders can misuse the opportunities they have. Now, let me just close this section by mentioning this. To survive in these difficult times, Christians must remember. Can you remember that? Can you remember to remember? Christians must remember. Is that not what Jude says to us? Friends, remember what was predicted by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why did they predict that? Because they knew we were going to be in trouble if we tolerated it. We must remember what the apostasy is. We must remember how long it's been predicted. We must remember that when the inspired Word of God was given to us, it was predicted and condemned. We must know God's Word in order to guard against growing apostasy. Now, let me just introduce the second point quickly and We'll not get through this, but we'll quit here. You'll notice number two, keep yourselves in God. Look at verse 20. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. So actually, verses 20 and 21 there. So keep yourselves in God. Keep yourselves in God. One commentator used the word remain. Remain in God. Keep yourself in God. Keep yourself in church. We all need church, don't we? Keep yourself in small group Bible study. We need to be studying the Word. Keep yourself in the Word of God. And notice how he goes on to emphasize this for us. The word keep there is a key verb in verses 21 and 20 and 21. Keep is the key verb, and notice the other three verbs that follow it. The three verbs that follow it, building, praying, and waiting. So if you're going to keep yourself in God, if you're going to keep yourself in a faithful walk with God, he says you want to keep building. You see that in verse 20? But you, dear friends, as you build yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, and then verse 21, waiting. Look at Acts 20, 32. And now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. Now, the word sanctified just means all who are set apart. You see, when you were saved, when you invited Jesus into your life, he set you apart unto him. Sometimes people get hung up, boy, if I get saved, if I become a Christian, I have to give up this and that. And that. No, don't focus on what you're setting your apart from, but what you're setting yourself apart to. Look at all the advantages. Look at all the opportunities. Look at all the promises that Jesus has given you. And so he says, I want you to build yourself up. And we see the importance there of building. And how he reminds us there of the importance of growing in our faith. And then you see he also reminds us there of the importance of praying in the Spirit of God. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit of God? It doesn't mean speaking in tongues. It means being in a spirit, being in a relationship, being in an attitude, a thought process with God. And then he reminds us, waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. Look forward to his coming. We're waiting on that time. Are you looking forward to that time when you're going to be with Jesus one day? Are you looking forward to the rapture? Do you remember every possible day could be an opportunity of our Lord coming? Do you realize what will happen when the Lord comes? Your opportunity of sharing the gospel with that loved one will be over. Your opportunity of sharing the gospel with that one with whom you work will be over. Your opportunity of speaking to that neighbor. I'll tell you, one of the regrets in my Christian life is sometimes I look back at someone that I know God had wanted me to share with, but I put it off and off until I lost contact with them. Now, the only way to avoid that regret is to take advantage of the opportunities to share the gospel. The world's full of pretenders. It's amazing. And when I listen to someone, and sometimes people suggest to me, somebody that they're listening or that they like, enjoy. But I always measure them up with the Word of God. Is what they're teaching in line with God's Word? and you look for red flags. Just like those reborn dolls, a lot of people live a life of pretending, and escape mechanisms. And the worst thing you can do in your Christian life is try to escape, try to fill yourself up with some addiction, some group, some programming, and just to keep your mind. If you've ever walked in a backslidden condition, you understand that when you're alone, the Holy Spirit moves in and wants to talk to you. So what a great reminder. How do we avoid apostasy? Boy, he gives us some great truths there. Remember, keep yourself in God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth of your Word. We thank you for how plain the Word of God is. We never cease to be amazed at just how. And sometimes I know that we step back and we say, well, there's so much in the Word of God I don't understand. But Lord, I'm sure that we would all admit that there's a lot in the Word of God that we do understand. And so as we think about Jude's trying to help us to avoid apostates and those who will destroy our walk with God, those who will encourage us to fall by the wayside, to backslide, those who will encourage us to walk down a path which is not true to God's faith for us. And we just ask that you will help us to not only listen to the Word, but Lord, I pray that we'll leave here today with a heart's desire to remember and to keep ourselves in God's truth. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for these who have come out today. We pray that you'll help us to have a good week. And that we'll continue to walk with you through these summer months and take advantage of the opportunities we have to serve you. We ask it all now in Jesus' name, in whose name we pray. Amen.